The topic of this evening's talk is the Quran, the Bible, and modern science. Conflict or conciliation? We'll be analyzing today whether the Quran and modern science, whether they conflict or conciliate. And the Bible and modern science, whether they conflict or they conciliate. First, we'll discuss regarding the glorious Quran. And the glorious Quran is the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God, which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. For any book to claim that it is a revelation from Almighty God, for any book to claim that it is a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should stand the test of time. Previously, in the olden ages, it was the age of miracles. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, that the glorious Quran is the miracle of miracles. Later on came the age of literature and poetry. Muslims and non-Muslims alike, they acclaim the glorious Quran to be the best Arabic literature available on the face of the earth. But today is not the age of literature and poetry. And suppose a religious scripture in a very poetic fashion says that the world is flat. Will a modern man believe in it? But naturally, no. Because today is not the age of literature and poetry. Today is the age of science and technology. So let us analyze today whether the glorious Quran conflicts or conciliates with modern science. Whether the Quran and modern science, whether they're compatible or they're incompatible. According to Albert Einstein, the famous physicist and the Nobel Prize winner, he said that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Let me remind you that the glorious Quran is not a book of science, S-C-I-E-N-C-E, but it's a book of signs, S-I-G-N-S. It's a book of ayats. And there are more than 6,000 ayats, 6,000 signs in the glorious Quran, out of which more than 1,000 speak about signs. As far as my talk today is concerned, I will only be speaking regarding Quran about the scientific facts which have been established. I will not be speaking about scientific theories and hypotheses which are based on assumptions, because all of us know very well that many a times these theories, they take U-turns. In the field of astronomy, a couple of decades earlier, there were a group of scientists who described the creation of the universe, and they called it the Big Bang. And they said that initially our universe was a primary nebula, was one mass. Later on, there was a secondary separation, a Big Bang, which gave rise to galaxies, the stars, the planets, and the earth we live in. This they called it as the Big Bang. A similar message is given in the Quran 1400 years ago in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, which says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Do not the unbelievers see أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتْ رَتْكًا فَتَكْنَهُمَا That the heavens and the earths were joined together and we clove them asunder. Imagine, the glorious Quran speaks about the Big Bang in a nutshell 1400 years ago. Previously, we human beings, we thought that the world was flat, and we were afraid to venture too far lest we would fall over. It was only in 1597 when it was the first person by the name of Francis Drake who proved that the world was spherical by sailing around the earth. The Quran says in Surah Naziat, chapter number 79, verse number 30, we have made the earth as an expanse. Wal ard ba'da zalika dahaha. And thereafter, we have made the earth egg-shaped. The Arabic word dahaha is derived from the word duya, which means egg. Another meaning of dahaha is an expanse, and the world is an expanse. But it is also derived from duya, which means egg. And today we have come to know that the world is not round like a ball. It is geospherical in shape. It's starting from the poles. And dahaha does not refer to a normal egg. It specifically refers to the egg of an ostrich. And if you analyze, the shape of an egg of an ostrich is exactly like that of the earth. It's geospherical in shape, starting from the poles and bulging from the center. Imagine, the glorious Quran speaks about the shape of the earth 1400 years ago, which we have come to know recently. Previously, the human beings, we thought that the light of the moon was its own light. It's recently we have come to know that the light of the moon is not its own light, but it is a reflected light. The Quran says in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 61, blessed is he who has made the constellations in the sky and placed therein sun, a lamp, having a light of its own, and moon, having borrowed light. The Arabic word for sun in the Quran is shams, and its light is always described as siraj, wahaj, or diya, meaning a torch, a blazing lamp, or a shining glory, indicating it has a light of its own. The Arabic word for moon is qamar, and its light is always described in the Quran as munir or nur, meaning borrowed light or a reflection of light, indicating that the light of the moon is not its own light, but a borrowed light or a reflected light. Imagine, the Quran mentions that the light of the moon is reflected 1400 years ago. When I was in school, I had learned that the earth and the planets, they revolved and they rotated. But the sun, it was stationary. It did not rotate about its own axis. And I passed my school in 1982. But when I read a verse in the Quran, it mentions in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 33, it says, "Huwa allazi khalaqa al-layl wa an-nahara." It's Allah who has created the night and the day. "Wa shamsa wal qamar," the sun and the moon. "Kullun fi falik yasbahun," each one traveling in orbit with its own motion. The Arabic word yasbahun is derived from the word sabaha, which describes the motion of a moving body. If I use this word for a person on the floor, it will mean he is walking or running. It will not mean that he is rolling. If I use that Arabic word for a person in water, it will not mean he is floating. It will mean he is swimming. Similarly, when Allah uses this word for a celestial body, it doesn't mean it is flying. It means it is rotating about its own axis. Quran says that the sun revolves as well as rotates about its own axis. And today we have come to know, with the help of an equipment, we can have the image of the sun on a tabletop, and we see that the sun has got black spots. And it takes approximately 25 days for these spots to complete one rotation, indicating that the sun takes approximately 25 days to complete one rotation. Imagine what I learned in school less than 20 years back. That means the world has come to know recently. The Quran says 1400 years ago. What I learned in school was wrong. We came to know recently. Quran mentions that the sun rotates 1400 years ago. According to Edwin Hubble, who's a famous scientist, he said that our universe is expanding. And Quran gives a similar message in Surah Dhariyat, chapter number 51, verse number 47, where it says that we have created the expanding universe, the vastness of space. The Arabic word mi'usina means the expanding universe. There may be certain skeptics who will say that it is nothing great that the Quran speaks about astronomy, since the Arabs were advanced in the field of astronomy. I agree with them that the Arabs were advanced in the field of astronomy, but I would like to remind them It was centuries after the Quran was revealed that the Arabs became advanced in the field of astronomy. So it's from the Quran that the Arabs learned about astronomy and not the vice versa.